Fred Film Radio, Festival de Cannes, France.
Fred Film Radio from the Cannes Festival. We are here with Jessica Hausner, director of Little Joe in competition at the Festival of Cannes. Okay, so the first obvious question, why a plant breeder as a lead character in your film?
Well, it was quite clear to me right from the beginning that the lead role, the female lead role, would be a scientist. I'm interested in the role that science plays in our society. I think it's a more and more important role, and we tend to believe what scientists say, so I thought it's an interesting field to place the story in. And also I had that Frankenstein idea that scientist creates a sort of monster. But the special thing about it is maybe that she creates another monster, which is her own child. And both of those monsters become like they get out of her control.
Happiness Business is the title of the song with the credits. Do you think happiness is what everybody's searching for?
I think so. I think this desire for happiness has become so intense. I mean, it's already in all of our small talk conventions. If someone asks you, how are you? You better not say bad. Of course, everyone says, fine, I'm so good, I'm so successful, everything is so fine. That becomes a threat to me. I think it is very unnatural. And this longing for happiness has something that is also combined maybe to business. I mean, the composer of the song is my husband. So I said to him, he's a musician, of course, and I said to him, please compose a song, a happy song, just a happy song. And then he came up with that idea, Happiness Business. We talked about it, and I thought maybe it's too obvious, but then I was totally fine with it because it's in the very end of the film, and I think it's okay to give that little information in the end. Yeah, of course. I think our society is, in a strange way, fascinated with the wish for happiness.
In an interview, you said you don't consider this a genre film because it doesn't follow the rules of genre. Do you consider genre a kind of old-fashioned?
Yes. I think nowadays it's not really adequate to tell stories or to make films that are so clear, that give you all the answers in the end and you're happy and go home. It's a feeling that I have about our lives, or that's the way how I perceive reality, that it's so split up in different truths also, and there is so many aspects and you have so much information about everything, and if you do the right research you will find that answer, and you could also find the contrary answer. I don't think that our reality is very clear, at least for me not. And when I search something in the internet and then some people tell me, yeah, but you have to make sure that the website is safe and that they tell you the truth, I say, how should I make sure that? I mean, who tells me? That's the big fake. Now that there are websites that pretend we have the real answers, that's even worse. Then I look at the other websites. I think it's confusing also. And also in a political sense, but maybe that's another topic. So that is a point of view that I try to convey in my films. And I think genre films tend to have that ending that solves all the problems.
How important was the design of the actual flower? Are you into gardening and flowers as well?
Not at all. I know nothing about plants. Now I know more. But I knew nothing when I started the film. It was just a tool to convey the story. So, I started to collect information about plants. And I wanted the plant to have that iconic character. The plant is sort of a symbol. In the beginning, I thought maybe it's not a plant, but for example, an apple without stones, something that is created through gene technology. But then food is complicated because you have to eat it willingly. So a plant that just emits its scent is better for the story. So I chose the plant. And also it's more of a symbol. I didn't want the film to be too much focused on nowadays issues. It's a more general level. Like, it could also be a fairy tale, then it would maybe not be a plant, a genetic technician, but a witch, and the witch creates a red flower that makes you happy. So it has that fairy tale undertone.
Why did you choose such a specific aesthetics for the film? So everything is abstract, very stylish, and very timeless too, because we don't know when we are.
Yeah, you said it already. The timelessness of it is what is important to me, and the beauty. But the timelessness is what I search for. And that's sometimes not even easy, because, for example, the costumes, I mean, you have to wear something. And how do you create a costume design that is not specifically pinched to one certain period of time? And the costume designer, Tanja Hausner, my sister, we work together on all of my films. She has an interesting way of approach, because she chooses very bright colors or very specific colors. So I think that's also a way to lead the audience away from the question of year and social background and whatever. So our film is not, of course, not the social realist film, but it's more a surrealist film. Mm-hmm. And I think in that sense, the colors make you like enter a world that is not so much pinned to one year.
The head of the scientific team in your film is trying to control the plants, the flower. Is there a parallel with you controlling every detail while shooting?
Yes, the female character in the story reminds me of myself. That's what she says in the first session with the psychiatrist, that I can't control everything, can I? But that also tells us she wants to control everything, but she can't.
And that's you.
Yes, absolutely.
And there's also a story of a kind of difference of perceptions, because both Alice and Bella, they think to see things or to understand things differently, but then at the end we don't know if it's true or not, if it's in their mind. How did you manage this different approach throughout the film without being too pushy?
Yeah, that was complicated. I think during the shooting of the film, I was like, there were more scenes that are in the film now. I built a sort of backup. I thought I will have to decide in the edit, how can I lead the perception of the audience in a way that we bounce between those different solutions that are offered in the story. So I shot more scenes than necessary, and I also worked with the actors in a way that we always shot one version where no one seems changed, everyone acts naturally and normal. Mm-hmm. Then one level where maybe Chris or the young boy, Joe, seems a bit stranger. And maybe sometimes even a moment where they are peculiarly odd. Then I decided in the editing room, how far do we have to go to keep that balance, that we think it's a bit strange, but maybe nothing at all. Because I wasn't sure, like, you know, it's really a question of editing and the rhythm of the film and the music and everything together. And then we had some test screenings, and at some test screenings the audiences thought, oh, it's obvious that there is a virus and they're all infected. Mm-hmm. Then we changed the edit, and then they also knew there's nothing. Mm-hmm. So we tried to balance it out until we are there where we are now.
How do you use the music for this?
Well, the music is a bit of a character of its own. The music does what it wants. Sometimes I'm embarrassed when it's ooh. So, but I think that for me that's a perfect match, because I wouldn't want to look for a music that is for the film. I prefer that the music is also a counterpart, and it adds a very odd feeling to some of the scenes. And that Japanese composer Teiji Ito was the composer also on films of Maya Darren. And Maya Darren's films inspired me a lot, always have. I think she creates with her films, she's an experimental filmmaker of the 1940s in the US, and she created those soul rooms, I don't know how to say it, it's settings, rooms, perspectives that make you feel uncanny, it's uncomfortable, although there is nothing actually. So it's very strange, it has a dreamlike sort of scenery.
We are in the realm of science fiction, but you wanted always to be realistic. Do you contact a scientist, biologist, neurologist in order to be more precise?
Yes, I very much like horror films. But when I make a film myself, I want to, also to contradict the genre by giving a very realist explanation. So I didn't want seed pods from outer space that fall on some ground. I tried to find a possible scientific theory. So I talked to, as you said, neurologist was in our team and a plant genetic scientist, and also a scientist who does human genetics. So we try to find that bridge. How can the plant, however, enter the human body? So one of the scientists came up with that idea that a virus of a plant could mutate into a human. It's a theory that works, so it is possible. But like in my film Lourdes, also a miracle is possible. Don't count on it. So it's maybe not likely. So I was looking for that theory that you think, is it really? Should I believe it now or not?
Talking about cinematic references for the film, the first that comes to mind is The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Do you agree?
I think it's more that those films like Invasion of the Body Snatchers are like that genre that the film is trying to play with. But as we said before, it's not a genre film. You have to understand the irony of it to really enjoy the film, because if you expect that the zombies come around the corner, it doesn't work. So the humor in the film is actually important. I think that's why we designed the plan to be slightly ridiculous. Little Shop of Horrors is more the association here, that you understand it's as an audience right from the beginning that this film is also making fun of it. Yeah, there is a fine irony, a slight irony in it, and someone said it's a horror comedy. I don't know, maybe that's true.
Thank you very much to Jessica Hausner, director of Little Joe in competition at the Cannes Festival. I'm Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.